And we're going to read from the New King James, from James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. And in the New King James, will happen is in italics, which means it wasn't in the original. What he actually said was, you do not know tomorrow. You do not know tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, or we could say ignorance. You boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Is he saying it's evil to make plans? No, he's not saying it's evil to make plans, because there are scriptures that say make plans. A man plans his day, but God orders his steps, the Bible says. We make plans, but we realize that God is ordering our steps. Our plans may change, and often do. Verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Well, I want to talk to you about three things that came to my mind this week, and they seem so simple. I thought, Lord, they already know all that. They're smart people. But the Lord says, I want you to talk about this. And basically, I want to talk about three things that we have to get straight in our thinking if our lives are going to be ordered correctly. If you're not going to miss the mark. That scripture that says, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. That word sin means to miss the mark. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if you lived your whole life and missed the mark? And you get to heaven, hopefully anyway, you get to heaven and you meet up with the designer and the architect of your life, the author and finisher of your faith. You meet him face to face, and he looks at you and said, boy, did you go astray. Boy, did you miss the mark. I had this plan for you. I had everything set up for you. I prepared it even before the foundations of the world. I set treasures in your path. I was going to do all these things for you, with you, and through you, and you missed the mark. I mean, you went off over here and did your own thing, and boy, did you flub up. Is that what you want to hear? No, I want to hear well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Well, in order to hear that, you can't miss the mark. Paul said, you know, he forgets everything that's behind him, and he presses on with determination toward the mark of the high calling of God. Well, when you miss the mark, that's the definition of sin. Doesn't mean you necessarily go to hell, but it means you didn't hit the bullseye. I want to hit the bullseye. I want my life to hit the bullseye. And sometimes, you know, you're going through life and you get this feeling, something just isn't right. You know, you're doing everything you know to do, and you're doing good, and you're serving God, and you're serving your family, and you're making a difference in the community. But somehow or another, Kenneth Hagin described it as, you feel like you're washing your feet with your socks on. You know that something just is amiss. And you don't necessarily feel like you fit in that groove, but you don't know what other groove to go to, so you just stay in that groove. And someone said the definition of a rut, you get in a rut, is a grave with both ends knocked out. That's what a rut is. It's just a grave with both ends knocked out. And a lot of times people get in a rut in their life, and they just keep going down that path because it's the only path they know. They're uncomfortable in it, but they're comfortable enough not to get out of it. Amen? Put a lion in front of them, and a bear behind them, they might find a way to get out of that rut. Amen? Kind of like old Mose. Y'all ever heard about old Mose? Well, you know, there was this guy, his name was Charlie, and he was going home one night, you know, late at night after the stores closed. He's going home, and it's getting dark, and he decided he needed to take a shortcut, so he cut across the cemetery. And as he's going across the cemetery, he can't see where he's going, and he fell into an open grave. And it was so deep, he jumped and jumped and jumped that he couldn't get out. So he thought, well, I'll just sit down here in the corner of the grave. And in the morning, the grave diggers will come and they'll help me out. So he sits down in the corner and he's just waiting for the sun to come up. Well, old Mose, he left the establishment later than his friend. And he's going home and he decides he's going to take a shortcut. And he cuts across that same cemetery and he fell in that same open grave. And he jumps, and he jumps, and he jumps, and he jumps. And then after a while, he heard this voice from the corner of the grave. Mose, you know you can't get out of here. And you know he did. He shot right out of that grave. So maybe God will do you a favor, and he'll put something in that rut. That's just a grave with both ends knocked out. He'll put something in that rut of your life that'll get you out of it. But it may be a big jerk to you. You know what I'm saying? It may jerk some slack out of you. It may cause that some adrenaline to run so you can jump higher. But I promise you, God is interested in getting you on track and on course with your life. And I was thinking about this during our revival meeting with Sean Strong, about how many times during his messages did I feel like God was bringing correction to me. Because God doesn't want me wasting time. You remember that there's a scripture that says, redeem the time for the days are evil. You know, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you, first of all, I think one of the things God wants us to keep foremost in our mind is that life is short. Now, when you get my age and older, you know, I realize, you know, more and more every day how quickly my life has passed on. I haven't passed on, but, you know, there's more sands in an hourglass beneath me than there are above me. Amen? The fuse is getting short. Anybody feel that way? And you look back over your life and you realize, man, it went fast. Boy, it went fast. You know, my granddaughter, my 16-year-old granddaughter, you know, there was a picture on Facebook. She's standing there holding her driver's license. And I'm thinking, she was born when I was 58. I thought I was old back then, but when I saw that girl that was born when I was 58, when I saw her holding her driver's license, I really felt old. And I thought, what happened? The time. I mean, next thing I know, she'll be a mama. Or, you know, she'll be, you know, if I live long enough, she'd become my grandma. And I'll really feel old then. Ruth already feels that old. She's got great-grandkids. And I guess they're mine too. And, you know, and they're walking and running around now. I mean, it's like you just turn around. They weren't, and now they are. We got a picture of Chris and Maxine Brochu from last Christmas. And they're sitting there in their home around the Christmas tree, and they've got their grandsons in their lap. And there's six of them. They're all little guys. And they're all in their pajamas, and it looked really cute. Last Christmas was the pajama Christmas, I guess, because everybody took pictures in their pajamas. And here's all these grandkids. And I remember Chris and Maxine sitting in our living room yesterday bemoaning the fact that their children weren't married yet and they had no grandchildren. Yeah, well, some of them were married, but they weren't all married. And they had no grandbabies. And now they got six grandsons. Now they're crying because they don't have any granddaughters. You know, some people you can never please. But I'm telling you, this life is short. Well, what does the Bible say about the brevity of life? Well, 2 Samuel 14:14 says it's like water spilled on the ground. 1 Chronicles 29:15 says it is as a shadow. Job 7:6 says it's like the wind. Job 9:25 said it's like a swift messenger or a swift ship or a swooping eagle. Job 14:1 says it's a flower. Psalm 103:15 says it's like grass that grows up and withers. Psalm 78:39 says it's like the wind. You know, here just briefly. Psalm 90, verse 9 says it's a sigh. That's not very long. Psalm 144, 4 says it is but a breath. And James 4:14 that we just read says it is but a vapor. You need to keep that in mind. It'll help you with the decisions you make in life. You don't have time to waste. And, you know, not only is life short, it's uncertain. The brevity, you don't know when it's going to end for you. And that's the second thing we need to keep in our mind, that not only is our life short, but it's brief. It's brief. Even if we live a long life upon the earth because we honored our father and our mother, that long life in comparison to eternity is brief. Hebrews 9:27 says that people are destined to die once. Let's look at that. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment. How many of you know? You're going to die. This present life that we are living in this flesh is not only brief, but it's a certainty that we will die. Unless the rapture comes. But, you know, more than likely, he'll come for us before he comes for everybody. Amen? Amen? My mama, she was just determined, absolutely for sure, that she was going to live to the rapture. But, you know, Jesus came for her before he came for all of us. I remember Lester Sumrall saying he wasn't going to die. He was going to go in the rapture. Well, you know what? His chariot came early. There's no problem in that. Just be ready. Amen? Be ready. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:2. The Bible calls the writer of Ecclesiastes the preacher. What did the preacher have to say? Ecclesiastes 7:2. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. What is he talking about? House of mourning, that's death. Amen? It is the end of most men. No. There's that word all. And you know what it means. It means all. All, everyone is appointed to die. It's going to happen to all of us. Death is a certainty. I was just going through my mind, people that were alive when 2020 started that are now gone. And this is just 2024, but I'm telling you, some of them were shockaroos. Yeah. The most recent shockaroo was Jerry Savelle. On a Saturday night, he preached in a church in California. And it's online. I watched it. Oh, it's a great sermon too, especially when you realize this guy is preaching his last sermon, and he's going to be in heaven in just a few hours, and he's preaching along like he always did. But I mean, he was making some points that I thought, I wonder if he knows he's dying. I mean, it was like that. I mean, it was great. I encourage you to get online and look up Jerry Savelle's last sermon and watch that thing. It's amazing when you consider that that before 24 hours passed, he was in heaven. Wow. He died suddenly. I don't know what of or how, but apparently, you know, he probably woke up in heaven, or he woke up and had a heart attack or something. But I mean, he went out like a shuck of corn. He was gone. And that's the way to go. What was he doing? He was doing what he loved to do. He had just preached all the way across Canada the week before. He had gone to Branson, Missouri, and preached in a Kenneth Copeland convention there, like he always did. And then he had flew out to California and was preaching out there. And from California, he went to heaven. Amen. And his schedule, he had all of 2024 scheduled in, and into 2025, he was going to be preaching 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week all over the world. He hadn't slowed down. And in that last sermon of his, he was talking about what God showed him concerning 2024. And he said, Lord, whatever it is you're doing in the world, I want to be involved. That was his prayer. Whatever you're doing in the world, I want to be involved. Next thing he said was, well, hello, Jesus. He's in heaven. Amen? Isn't that something? You're going to die, folks. You might as well die well, and you might as well die on course, and you might as well die aimed for the bullseye. And amen, you might as well, it's a brief life. So even if you sacrifice and suffer and suffer humiliation because of Christ, so what? It's just brief. Paul said it's better for him to die. He said, I'm hanging around here for your sakes, but other than that, take me home. Is that your attitude? Or are you just hanging on to this life like it's going to last forever? Well, this life is brief, and it's certain that it's going to end. You're driving down the highway 80 miles an hour, and there's a stop sign ahead of you, and it's getting closer and closer. And that last 100 yards, that stop sign is going to look like it's going 100 miles an hour right at you. How many of y'all been there? You didn't think you'd ever get around that mountain. But eventually, you got right up to it and passed it. I remember driving through the mountains out in New Mexico, and there's this one volcanic mountain, hopefully extinct, pop up out of the desert. And the road headed straight for it. And we would drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive and drive. And it looked like we were never going to get to that mountain. But then suddenly, there it was. And we had to turn and go around it. That last few miles, that mountain came up fast. But for a long time, it looked like I'd never get there. And it looks like you may never get to that day of your departure, but it will come. Paul said that my time for departure has come. And he was excited. He was excited. I hope you're excited. Well, you will be if you know you're on course. Amen? So stay on course. Now, here's something else you need to keep in mind, and that's eternity is forever permanent. Now, that sounds like total redundancy, but I can't emphasize it strong enough. Eternity is forever permanent. Once you do leave this life, you're not coming back to it. Amen? Even if you wanted to, your body, your earth suit, will corrupt within hours of you leaving it, and you won't be coming back to it. You'll get a new body, and you'll live in that new body forever. You'll get a forever home, a forever body. I think it's funny. I watch these fixer-upper shows. You know, Ruth likes to watch on HGTV. She likes to watch all these fixer-upper shows, and people talk about their forever home, and I just laugh. Now, the house may outlast you, but it's not forever. There's nothing in this world that's forever. Everything in this world is temporary. I mean, whole kingdoms have come and gone. Whole civilizations have sprung up and thrived and then dwindled away and disappeared. I mean, there were people who lived on this soil, on this land, thousands of years ago. We don't even know who they are. Nothing's left of them. Maybe a fossil here, a fossil there, but nothing's left of them. And when they were here, they thought they were going to, they're building their forever dugout or their forever shack or their forever teepee or their forever, adobe house. But I'm telling you, nothing lasts. Nothing lasts. But eternity's permanent. John 3:16 shares us a little bit about eternity. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Eternal life. See, the gospel message reveals eternity to us. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you going out into eternity unprepared. He sent Jesus to purchase for you eternal life. John 17:3 says eternal life is knowing the only true God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's read that. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is connected to knowing God. And so you put those two scriptures together, John 3:16 and John 17:3, and you realize our number one occupation on this earth is to get people to God. Because we get them to God, we get them to eternal life. And it's so permanent it should be our highest priority. Especially our families and people that we love, people that we know. I don't want anybody I know to go to hell. I mean, I don't want anybody to go to hell, but I don't want anybody I know to go to hell. I sure don't want any of my family to go to hell. And it's my job, it's my preoccupation to prepare them for eternity, because eternity's permanent. Romans 1:20 says that God's invisible attributes, including his divine power, are eternal. God himself is eternal. His power is eternal. And we can see it. We can look at the heavens and the earth and realize how he said they will pass away, but he said my word will never pass away. So God himself is eternal and permanent. And if we are in him and he is in us, then we also can be eternal and permanent. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. When God gives that gift to us, he gives it to us for keeps. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If we don't have Jesus, we're going to, when we die and everybody dies, we're going to be in eternal death, darkness. Death is separation from everything that is life. True death is being separated from God. And that, my friend, is permanent. Some people have this idea that hell is just a holding cell for God to punish us for a few years and rehabilitate us and then turn us loose. There's no scripture to bear that out. No scripture could back that up. Hell is permanent. Hell is forever. Amen. There's no escape. And our job is to help people get to heaven. Or more important than that, to get to God. God's the only safe place in the universe. You ever think about that? You ever think, where are we going to be? when heaven and earth pass away with a huge explosion. And Peter said, and the earth will melt with a fervent heat, and the heavens, the stars will fall out of the heavens, and all of heaven and earth will be destroyed. Well, what about us? Where are we going to be? The only place that is safe is in Christ. If we're with him, we'll be okay. No matter what. If the universe dissolves and earth melts, we'll be in him and we'll be in a cool place. We'll be safe. Amen? And it says, then there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. And we'll have our permanent home. But our goal is not to get, ultimately, yes, we all want to go to heaven, of course. Ultimately, we want to miss hell, absolutely. But our real focus should be always to be in Christ, because in him we live and move and have our being. We need to understand, eternity is so permanent, we don't want to spend in the wrong place. So our preoccupation in this life, not to just make heaven, but to make God. We want to make God. We want to be in him and God in us. Yes. Amen. Amen. And if you're hiding under his skirts, you're in a safe place. Amen. I kid you not. All else, everything else is sinking sand. You got to hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. 2 Peter 1:11 tells us that we can look forward to a rich, wonderful, vibrant welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are a lot of folks, you know, they go around there teaching that Jesus is going to come at the rapture, and then he's going to take us away, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation on the earth, and then Jesus is going to come back, lock the devil in a cage, and he's going to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and then he's going to release the devil, and the devil's going to cause havoc, and then there's going to be another war, the war to end all wars, and then Jesus is going to present the kingdom to the Father. In other words, he's going to give it up. He's going to give it up to the Father. This scripture, all through the Bible, says of his kingdom there is no end. And this says it's not the kingdom of the Father. It's the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, an eternal kingdom. Amen. Well, Pastor, how do you deal with all those 7 years and 1,000 years and all that kind of stuff? I don't worry about it. I always ask, well, are you pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib, or whatever? I said, no, I'm pan-trib. I believe it'll pan out. I'm not worried about that. But, you know, tribulation, the Bible says I'm not appointed unto wrath. Amen. And so you know what my focus is? Not to help people survive the tribulation, but to get people in Christ where they'll be safe. Amen. Whether they're alive or dead, they'll be safe. Amen? I'm not going to teach people how to store up food for 7 years. I'm not going to teach them how to hunt in the woods. I'm not going to teach them all that stuff. I'm going to teach them how to be in Christ. Because if they're in Christ, they're safe, they're peaceful, and they're blessed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right, let me give you some synonyms for eternity. I'll give you five synonyms. One is found in 1 Chronicles 16:34. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting. So one synonym for eternity is everlasting. Amen. There's 11 more verses identical to that. Then there's another one, 2 Chronicles 5:13. Oh, we don't have time. Let's go to the next synonym. The next synonym is forever and ever. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 and 39 other verses. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 and 39 other verses say our Lord God lives and deserves all praise forever and ever. So that's eternity, forever and ever. Amen. And the other 39 stretch all the way from Exodus to Revelation. Psalm 90, verse 2. Let's look at that one. Psalm 90, verse 2 says something about God. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That's a synonym for eternity. Everlasting to everlasting. That is, God has no beginning and no end. Psalm 90, verse 2. Let's look at that one. Psalm 90, verse 2. Oh, we're already there. That's before the first clock ever started ticking. Eternity was already in existence. See, time was made so man could measure his existence on the earth. God is timeless. And when you get in that new body, you'll be in a condition where time is no more. Amen. Time is only something that we measure our existence here, our brief existence here. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, at the climax of history, we will receive imperishable, immortal bodies. That way we can live with the Lord forever on the new earth and beyond. So imperishable and immortal. These are synonyms for eternal. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I mean, these kinds of scriptures are all through the scripture. This life is brief. You're going to die. And what happens after that is permanent. It's forever. If you were an ant, let's call you one of those big ants, army ant. Let's say you're an army ant, and you could fly. There are ants that fly. And you could fly. But you were a super ant, so you can fly from the earth to the moon and back. And if you went from the earth, if you, as an army ant that could fly, if you flew from the earth to the moon and you picked up one grain of sand off of the moon and you brought it back to the earth, and you did that until you had completely transferred the moon to the earth, eternity would be just beginning. I mean, you think about that. One grain of moon dust at a time, and you're transferring it. You're this little ant flying through space. I don't know how long it would take you, but you're transferring the moon to the earth, one grain of moon dust at a time. How long would that take? And you'd just be beginning eternity. Now, don't you want to spend that time in a good place? Don't you want your daughter, your son, your children, grandchildren, neighbors? Don't you want them to spend all that time in a good place? See, that should be your main thought. We got to get this in our thinking. It's real, people. It's real. This is reality. It's more real than anything in this temporal world. Everything here is temporary. That's permanent. Look to Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. Here's something that ought to shake you a little bit. Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. What's he saying there? He's saying there's coming a time when time's up. And whatever you are at that moment, you will be forever. If you're a whoremonger, you'll be a whoremonger for eternity. If you're a murderer, you'll be a murderer for eternity. If you're a miserable old cuss, you'll be a miserable old cuss for eternity. If you're a whiner, you'll be a whiner for eternity. You see, not only are you going to be around forever, but you're going to be around forever the way you are when you die. Any changing you're going to do, you got to change it on this side. Why have revival services so people can make adjustments in their life? I made some. I did some repenting. I made some adjustments. I mean, I'm not the same person today as I was last week. And hopefully by next week, I'll make some more adjustments. Because I know when the jig is up, it's up for good. Think about that. So what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, it actually says those words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and do what you're told. Whew, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, then you're derelict of duty. I'm not afraid of anything, God or anybody else. Well, then you're derelict of duty. The whole duty of man, fear God and do what you're told. I've had people tell me that. I've had people tell me, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Yeah? Who dressed you this morning? Most men, you know, their wife told them what to wear. Nobody's going to tell me what to do except my wife. No, we're taking orders from somebody. Amen. Might as well be the right one. Hallelujah. Okay, what are the three things you must get in your thinking? Number one, life is short. Number two, you're going to die. Number three, it's permanent. Life is short, you're going to die, and it's permanent. So you need to prepare. You can't come back and finish unfinished business. That's a Hollywood fantasy. God's not going to let you hang around until unfinished business is finished. You're not going to haunt the halls of your house until somebody knows you're there and takes care of unfinished business. Once you're done, you're done. Out of here. Immediately the rich man was in hell. And he lifted up his eyes in torment. Immediately. And it was permanent. Lord, let me go back and warn my brothers. The Lord said, no. You're here, you're staying. Don't think you're going to be an exception. Amen? Don't think you're going to be an exception. It's permanent. You might be like Jerry Savelle. It's minding your own business, and all of a sudden, it's over. Thank God he was ready. Amen. Thank God. Some great men of God I've known over the years died suddenly. Plane crashes, car wrecks. William H. Branham died in a head-on collision. Miles Monroe in a thunderstorm flying in his airplane. David Wilkerson, head on with a truck on a bridge. I mean, when it comes, folks, it comes. Even if you're expecting it, it's sudden. I've noticed people who lingered with their family at their bedside. When they finally passed, their family was shocked, surprised. You're never ready for it emotionally, but you can be ready spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. My grandmother, shouting Methodist woman, never went to church anywhere else but her Methodist church. Put her hair up, her long hair up in bobby pins on top of her head. Go to church, and she never left the spot she was standing in, but she would jump up and down and shake and shout until all the bobby pins flew out of her hair and her hair fell down along her shoulders. My dad and his twin brother would have to crawl around on the floor and pick up all her bobby pins. My dad said when she died lying in bed with her hands in the air, saying, "I see Jesus." And she began to speak in tongues. I'm talking about a Methodist woman. She began to speak in tongues with her hands raised until her body left and her hands fell to the bed. And he said, "We were shocked. We weren't ready. It was our mother." Well, I tell you, she was ready. And that's my heritage. That's my heritage. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, I know this is a simple message, but it's straight truth. And sometimes, like Ron Hardbaugh, he said, you know, if we want the old results, we need to preach the old way. And Father, we need to be reminded continually, all of us, I don't care how spiritual we are, all of us can forget and let these truths slip from us. Lord, bring it front and center to our minds and our attention. Help us to realize today we need to make things right with you. Today we need to get right back on the right course. Today we need to conduct our life according to its real purpose. Today, we need to get ready ourselves and get others ready to meet the Lord. I thank you, Father, that this word will fall upon someone who needs to get right with you, whether it be here or through the recording. But I pray, Father, that somebody will hear this and get saved. All they've got to do to enjoy eternal life is to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, owner, controller, and Savior. Hallelujah. Because the gift that you give is eternal life. And I pray that there not be anyone who hears this message that would miss out on their eternal destiny in God. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Can we get the communion elements? And we haven't had communion in a couple weeks. Usually when we have guest speakers, I like to give more time to them. And so we haven't had communion in 2 weeks, and I feel like I need it. One thing about communion, it helps get your mind back on the main thing. Amen? What is the main thing? The main thing is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting. Amen? This is the key to everlasting life, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I believe it with all my heart. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah like you mean it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord be praised. The Lord be praised. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Examine yourself. Say, oh, am I still on track, Lord? Holy Spirit, show me if I've gotten off track. Show me if I'm heading in the wrong direction. Show me if I'm going to miss the bullseye. I don't want to miss the bullseye. I don't even want to get in the 10-point circle or the 20-point circle. I want to be in the dead circle, dead center. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help me correct and direct my path. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me of all my trespasses and all my missing the mark. Hallelujah. I repent of missing the mark. I repent of sin. I repent of it. That means I turn away from it. And I want to turn back to the main course, the main track. I want to keep the main thing, the main thing. And when my life ends, I want it to end in Christ for eternity's sake. Let the Holy Spirit just speak to you. Let Him speak to you and just respond to Him. If He tells you to stop doing something, stop doing it. If He wants you to do more of something, do more of it. Just fear Him and obey Him. Respect Him and obey Him. He knows what He's talking about. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We want to respond to You positively. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, on behalf of Cornerstone Church, we put this church and this ministry in Your hands. Lord, I don't want to be doing anything just to play church. We don't want to play church. If there's things that we can change and directions that we can go in that You want us to go, I pray, Lord, that You reveal it to all of us. Reveal it to us, Lord. Show us what You want us to do. Because being in the center of Your will is more important to us than playing our games. And help us to trust You. Sometimes we don't obey because we're afraid. We're afraid that somehow or another You'll let us down. But You've never failed us. Look at what You did for us at the cross, 2,000 years before we were even born. Lord, You were thinking of us 2,000 years ago and even beyond, before the foundation of the world. The Scripture says that this was ordained before the foundation of the world. And so, Lord, You were thinking of us before the world was even made. Amen. And provision was made. And Jesus allowed His body to be broken, tortured, mangled, ripped to shreds, punctured, nailed to a cross, so that with His stripes we might be healed. I want Your will concerning my body and my soul and my whole being. I want Your will to be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. You want us well. You don't want us dependent upon drugs, doctors, medicines. You don't want us filled with poisons and with organs failing and bones deteriorating and nerves all jangled up. You want us well. Doesn't matter how old we are. You want us well. And You provided a way through Your broken body. So we receive our healing now in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. One thing I really appreciate about the blood is the blood was poured out to seal an eternal covenant. We've talked about eternity. 10 zillion, million, billion, quadrillion years from now, when time is no more. It's hard to reconcile those two thoughts. But when time is no more, this covenant that's sealed in the blood of Jesus will be still in force. We're participating in something this morning, folks, that is eternal. This is an eternal agreement. Isn't that something? You want a taste of eternity? Drink this cup right now. That's eternity. That's eternity in your mouth. Amen? An eternal covenant that cannot be broken, backed by God's own existence. Hallelujah. Can you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you are all in? You're all in. Now, you don't have to be all in my way. You don't have to be all in and do everything the way I do it. You just got to be all in. All in Him. All into Jesus. You know, it's more important for you to do what pleases Him than for you to do what pleases me. Isn't that great? You don't have to please anybody else but Jesus. And He loves you with an unbelievable love. I mean, His love is amazing. Amen. Stand up with me and lift your hands to the Lord and just make love to Him right now. Just tell Him how much you love Him, how much you appreciate Him. Lord, I love You with all my heart and soul and being. I love You. I'm not ashamed for people to hear me say it. I'm not ashamed to live it out in my life. Jesus, You're my hero. You're my superstar. You're my champion. Hallelujah. You're the lover of my soul. Jesus, You're my Savior, deliverer, healer, baptizer, my King now, my King coming. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank You, Father, for making Him real to me. Glory to God. From now and forever. Now and forever. Now and forever. And everybody said amen.